Amen. I think Chinese people are very slack when it comes to the nicknames that they give to people. So one of Steph's cousins is regularly referred to as Fat Sister. And then there's another one who's regularly called Silly Sister. Now you might think that's pretty tame compared to some of the nicknames that Aussies give to each other, but those bad nicknames aren't the ones that are given by relatives and regularly used by relatives to the face of the person that they're speaking to. However, at least that's just a nickname. It's not their actual name. It's not their given name. Now, there's a fellow in the Bible called Nabal, N-A-B-A-L. Doesn't sound too bad to English ears, but if you were around in Old Testament times, you would be wondering, what on earth were his parents thinking? Because Nabal means fool. Nabal means fool. And perhaps you're also wondering why this sermon is called The Fool. It might seem a little strange to be devoting one talk in a series on wisdom to the fool and to foolishness. After all, you know, people prefer the positive to the negative. And, you know, fool is pretty negative. You know, people aren't short. They're vertically challenged. So perhaps I should have called this sermon The Wisdom-Challenged Person. But I want to suggest to you that it's important that we understand from the Bible who the fool is to bring into sharper contrast who the wise person is. And of course, it's always good to hear what a fool is so that we don't fall into the behaviour of foolish people. But before we get into it, before we get into fools and foolishness, it's a good idea just to get an idea of how the book of Proverbs works, how we understand Proverbs. Proverbs 1 to 9, and we read chapter 9 today, Proverbs 1 to 9 is basically a unit which provides the theological outlook of the book. Now, what I mean by that is, Proverbs 1 to 9 gives us the world view to understand the rest of the book, Proverbs 10 to 31. Proverbs sets up the world view in which the Lord, the God of Israel, is the one to be feared and honored and trusted. The Lord is the one who gives wisdom. The Lord is the one who made the earth. The Lord is the one who sees all the actions of men. And this is the world view which gives the boundaries to our understanding of Proverbs 10 to 31. Because Proverbs 10 to 31 is a whole lot of one-liners about the world. If you do X, then Y happens. If you work diligently, then you'll prosper. But those one-liners come in the context of the Lord God, who made the world and everything in it, and chose Israel out of all the nations to be his special possession. That's the context in which those proverbs, those one-liners, were said. The book of Proverbs is a whole series of observations on life. It's a collection of sayings that have come about through people looking at the world and noticing that there's a certain regularity to it. But they aren't meant to be taken as an instant formula for success. The context that I want us to think about for this talk, The Fool, is Proverbs 9, which talks about two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. This chapter is a picture of these two ladies calling out to the simple, where simple is talking about people who need to be instructed. They're not necessarily fools as such, but they're immature people in need of instruction. Both ladies call out and they describe what their instruction is like. The choice is there for all to make, to listen to one of these two ladies. Lady Folly calls out, inviting all to come into her house. The problem is, her house is a bad house, and there's no goodness there. Proverbs is a call to be wise, but part of the way that call happens is by unmasking the fool. So let's get into it. How can we identify the fool? What is foolish? Well, I want to say three things about the fool. First of all, the fool despises or hates knowledge. There are some verses up there from Proverbs. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 1, 22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 23 verse 9, do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. The fool thinks that knowledge isn't worthwhile. And I think the major reason for it is the fool is wise in his own eyes. The fool thinks, I've got nothing else to learn. I already know it. And even if I needed to learn something, I wouldn't learn it from you. The fool thinks that he or she has got it all sorted out, so he doesn't need to listen to others or learn from others. Fools despise learning. The fool despises the idea that everyone should always be learning, whether that's in formal ways or in informal ways. Now, everyone here knows the alphabet. You learnt it in kindergarten or preschool, or off Sesame Street or some other show. And after that, you learnt to spell, and then you learnt to read and write, and also write stories, compositions, those sorts of things. But can you imagine a child saying, I've learnt the alphabet. That's it. School's over. I can go out into the world now. That's the attitude of the fool. The Christian version of this is, oh, I've been a Christian for a while now. I've been to Christian conferences, Christian conventions. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. That's it. I'm done. But the fool is actually underdone. You see, continuing education is a good thing, both in gaining knowledge and also applying that knowledge. And if you've got opportunities to do that sort of thing, and let's face it, as Christians living in Sydney, there is a wealth of those sorts of opportunities, don't despise them. Now, I'm a reader. I like to read. And so, you know, I enjoy reading Christian books. I realise that not everyone is a good reader. And I also realise that there are other ways that people can gain knowledge, you know, visual learning, tactile learning, auditory learning, you know, all those sorts of different learnings. But is it possible that refusing to read books is foolishness rearing its head in your life? Well, second of all, the fool proclaims folly. Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Proverbs 14, 24. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. A fool is a preacher of folly. Now, obviously a fool isn't going to say, I'm a fool, but remember, Proverbs says that the fool is wise in his own eyes. That is, there's a sense in which a fool doesn't know that he or she is a fool. The fool thinks that he's wise, and so he tells people about his supposed wisdom. The fool loves to tell people his opinion on this or that, but in actual fact, what the fool says is rubbish. It's like listening to the lyrics of a pop song and expecting some really insightful observations about our world. Maybe you've met someone who acts as if he or she is the expert on everything. That's the sort of thing a fool does. a fool also flaunts his folly. His way of living is foolish, but he parades it around for all to see as if it's the greatest thing on the earth. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. Proverbs 15:21. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. It reminds me of what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 when speaking about sinners. He says, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I don't know if you remember, a year or two ago, the New South Wales government changed the law so that people could now play keno in pubs. And at the time, the gaming minister said, it's not one of the high-risk forms of gambling, which basically translates to, it's bad, but not as bad as some of the other forms of gambling, and we get taxation revenue from it, and so it's good. The government parades around its keno deal as if it's a good thing. But this is the flaunting and preaching of folly. Thirdly, the fool comes to ruin. Living a foolish life is the pathway to destruction. You can see that in our reading from Proverbs 9 this morning. The guests of Lady Folly are in the grave. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Proverbs 10:10. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. Proverbs 10, verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Living the way of a fool isn't something which is neutral or not recommended. It's not a question of Coke or Pepsi. It's much more serious than that. Living the way of the fool has eternal consequences. Living the way of the fool is not like being the class clown. It's not mucking around with friends. It's deadly serious to live like a fool. Remember, the guests of Lady Folly end up in the pit, in hell. That's one of the reasons why we're looking at the fool as one of the sermons in our series on wisdom. It's a life and death matter when it comes to living like a fool. July 2007. An elderly couple in St. Mary's, minding their own business, are killed when a car which was street racing crashes into theirs. The man driving the car was charged with manslaughter. He was found guilty, and his foolish action was costly. It was costly for Alan and Judith Howell, who died, but it will also cost him, not just because of the prison sentence, but living with the deaths of those two people that he killed, which he caused. It will cost him in terms of probably being blacklisted by the community. Foolish actions have consequences, and very often they gather up other people in it too. And one of the reasons for the fool coming to ruin is that the fool doesn't turn away from evil. Proverbs 13:19, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. The fool thinks nothing of evil, and so makes no effort to turn away. In fact, it's even stronger than that, because the fool detests turning from evil. It's like the fool ignores all the road signs. There's a massive sign saying, wrong way, go back. But the fool continues along. Now, when Steph and I lived in Newtown, there was a one-way street, which was close to ours, called Little Queen Street. You can't turn left into it because there's a no-entry sign. You can't turn right into it because, you know, there's a sign that says no right turn. And you can't go straight in to it either because there's a no-entry sign there. And yet, Steph and I still saw people turn left into it, turn right into it, go straight into it. Turning left into Little Queen Street and heading in the wrong direction. It's a narrow street. You're likely to have a head-on collision. People turning right into Little Queen Street, heading in the wrong direction. The signs are there for all to see, but people ignore them. Fools. The wrong way signs in our life are pretty obvious. But it's a matter of whether we listen to them. When we read the Bible, when we listen to sermons, as we talk with our Christian friends, the signs are all there. But are we listening? This is the picture of the fool which Proverbs gives. And when we turn to the pages of the New Testament, well, what do we find? Listen again to Proverbs, Luke chapter 12. And he, that is Jesus, told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Not being generous towards God has eternal consequences. It's deadly serious. This parable is another example of how the fool comes to ruin. We need to be reconciled to God. But instead, the fool ignores God and isn't generous to him. If this is how you're acting toward God, then you're in mortal danger. You need to turn from foolishness and trust in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul warns us against so-called wisdom. The Colossians were in danger of being sucked in by the wisdom of the day. Colossians 2, starting at verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The false teachers at the time appeared to be teaching wisdom. It sounded wise to have a whole lot of commands to enforce godliness. But those commands were false. They didn't do any good. There are lots of peddlers of wisdom out there, but in reality they are lady folly, calling out to the simple, leading to death. Finally, the Apostle Paul gives us a snapshot of what we were like before we became Christians. Titus chapter 3, starting from verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, at one time, we Christians were foolish. We weren't any wiser than the people around us. But God reached out to us, even though we didn't deserve it. He saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of anything that we did, but because of his mercy and because of his generosity. And so because of his grace, it's right to turn our backs on folly. The fool hates knowledge. The fool proclaims folly, and the fool comes to ruin. Ultimately, the fool is the non-Christian. But that doesn't mean that Christians have their lives sorted. We still have leftover foolish things in our lives which we need to get rid of. And as we continue to think through what the Bible has to say on wisdom over the next 2 weeks, we can begin to take steps in living that will be wise. Let's come before our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in the Bible. Thank you that though once we were fools, you saved us through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Please help us to avoid the way of fools. Please help us not to hate knowledge. Please help us not to be sucked in by folly. Please help us to hear and obey the warning signs in our life. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing our final song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.